Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to the conclusion of this saga. If, for some reason, you have not heard the first part, we invite you to listen to it first, so you understand the terrible events we are about to recount. My name is Uriel Reyes, and you are entering another installment of Tales of the Night. Something inhabited the Blue House way before we arrived there. Maybe even before the house was built. Who knows? Some said that figure was the first owner, angry about what happened to the area surrounding the house. But others told a different story. That this same entity was responsible for driving the original owner mad, and that, in the end, because of it, the owner disappeared. Just like my mother. Well, we'll never be able to confirm that. That sensitivity that had awakened in me after the accident, that had allowed me to see so much for so long, disappeared over time. And after many months, it became more and more unusual for that presence to wake me up at night. I also stopped hearing the stream's sound as clearly. But Memo and his family, some neighbors too, kept seeing the woman peering through the windows at night, staring hatefully from my bedroom window at the houses down by the stream, especially when my father and I were not there. For a long time, the neighbors thought it was my mother peering out the window, but now there was no doubt. It was that woman, that entity inhabiting the house. She had returned. It had been almost a year and a half maybe, of apparent calm. At least for those of us inside the house who couldn't see anything. Then one day, I felt very sick. I was sweating even though it wasn't hot. I felt nauseous. My body aching and I barely left the bathroom. My dad felt the same. He finished working in the living room, which was now practically his office, and told me to go to bed early. We thought it was food poisoning and agreed that if a night's rest didn't fix it, we would go to the doctor the next day. I left the door open and heard my dad taking phone calls from the living room. It was like deja vu. A sudden feeling in my chest told me something bad was about to happen. Before I knew it, I was praying. I had never been that religious, but it was like a reflex. The only thing left for me to do. I did it unconsciously, before slipping into a dream state. In my dream, I kept praying, or trying to, as something kept shaking me, not letting me get through the prayer. I saw myself lying outside, next to the stream. I prayed again and something invisible shook me. And then, through the stream, I saw a woman in white approaching, walking on the water. I tried praying again, but I still couldn't do it. I tried waking up, terrified by the woman in the dream. "Come on, come on, wake up," I told myself. And even though I knew it was a dream, there was something truly horrible about that woman that made me think it was real. I tried to run, but I fell. I shook my legs, and for a moment I physically felt her. In real life, my body was trying to move my legs, but they felt numb again. A heavy wind began to blow in the dream. The woman kept approaching me. "Come on, it's just a dream. None of this is real," I said, while looking at my legs. The woman got out of the water and stood in front of me. I couldn't see her face. She was completely covered by a white veil, almost transparent, filled with fog. She crouched down and uncovered her face, but I turned my face away. Without looking at her, I could feel my foot getting wet. That thing was sucking the soul of my foot and draining my energy, leaving me weak, as if it was feeding on me. Then, like a snake, it unlocked its jaw, and it put almost my whole food in its mouth. I couldn't move, but as best I could, I dared to look at my foot. I tried shaking it. I yelled at it. "I know who you are now. I know who you are," I shouted without knowing why. And then it turned its face towards me. Suddenly, everything around me became clear. I recognized my room. I'd managed to open my eyes, and I saw the woman leaving my room, floating like a cloud of fog. Was I dreaming? It was definitely sleep paralysis. I yelled for my dad to help me because I couldn't move, and I realized my foot was wet and covered in saliva. My dad, who had already started noticing the energies inhabiting the house, sought help from the neighborhood priest, who refused to help, arguing that those things didn't exist, that praying and having a clear conscience was enough. He gave my dad some holy water and forgot about us, but my dad kept looking for help. He eventually ended up with a Christian pastor who, despite his stricter beliefs, agreed to help us because he himself had experienced beings clinging to a place, feeding on the inhabitants' fears. It was a long time later, years later, that I found out what had happened to the pastor who helped us, and why he never returned to the house or reached out to us again. He was afraid, very afraid. He said that the first time he prayed in our house, he felt something terrible, something evil there. A woman followed him wherever he moved, but he could only see her out of the corner of his eye. Her shadow. She never presented herself clearly. What terrified him the most happened at his own house, in another neighborhood. That same night, he heard the door to his son's room open, and the boy walked to the kitchen. Just then, his son knocked on his door and told him that there was someone in the living room. Peeking out from his bedroom door, the pastor was able to see a woman sitting in the living room, watching them. She was fully covered in that white veil, which made it almost impossible to see that she was smiling. According to the pastor, a being covered by a sheet represents evil. They are not spirits who are trapped between worlds like ghosts in movies. They are beings who exchanged their souls in order to remain among us, and they can be very, very dangerous to those who inhabit their territory. According to this theory, they can inflict real physical harm on others. However, at the time, we did not know this, and we continued living in the house, trying to ignore that we were sharing it with a supernatural being. I was in my last year of elementary school when tragedy struck. The official version is that someone broke into the house to rob us, and my father resisted. I've never believed that version. Memo's mom said that she saw my dad walk by the windows of my house that afternoon. When I arrived, I found my father in a pool of blood, beaten brutally. It gives me chills to remember it, to remember what I felt, because I was sure he was dead, because he didn't seem to be breathing. He lost most of his vision in his right eye and almost completely lost his hearing. Worst of all, he never, ever went back to being himself. He still recognized us and could help with things around the house, but he never went back to being that brilliant man he was before. Thank God that shortly before the incident, he had invested in a small business with one of his cousins. And so, thanks to that, we were able to survive. He never told me much about what happened that night, but sometimes, Sometimes he would talk about that afternoon when my mom came home. Memo and his mom became the only two people who dared look us in the eye. Even the store owners seemed to sell things to me in fear. Everyone seemed to be afraid of what was taking over our house and our lives, as if it was some kind of parasite that could be passed on to them with the slightest contact. My family helped. Yes. I can't say I was alone because they never neglected us, especially my dad. But the nights became terrible because someone was constantly walking around the house, and my dad would cry for hours until he fell asleep. There wasn't a single occasion, not one, when I didn't come out of my room at night without seeing someone in the dark. Their silhouette was there all the time until I turned on the light, but I could feel them. I could feel them next to me, breathing down my neck. Memo was my only ally. My father had episodes where he was just a shell of a person. He would mumble and speak incoherently. I'm talking about when I was about 12 years old, and it was Memo who would step up. I would never have survived without him. He was my best friend. Sometimes in the mornings, I would go out the back and go down to the stream like I used to when I was little. I didn't care about the stench of the water, it was the only place I could find a sense of calm. My family seemed to know what was going on, even if they didn't acknowledge it. They always seemed to leave as soon as the sun started to go down. And soon, on one terrible night, everything came crashing down. One night, when my father was more cheerful and lucid than usual, he even cooked my favorite meal. Almost. Like Mom used to. And for a few moments, everything felt like it did before. Like my old dad was there, like my mom could walk through the door at any moment. I told him to go to the living room to watch the news while I did the dishes, but when I wasn't looking, he went up to his room instead. He had left the TV on, and I turned it off when I finished washing up and went up to my room to read a comic. It was one of those X-Men comics that had a story on each side. Maybe that's why I love comics so much, because they allowed me to escape. However, that time, they weren't enough. Because the sound of my father's crying still made its way to my room. Like every other night, I didn't know what to do. And so, with a broken heart, I fell asleep. The walkie-talkie suddenly sounded. Memo was asking me to copy.
Your mom is at the window of your dad's room,
he said. I rubbed my eyes, waking up slowly. And that's when it hit me. It had been years since I'd changed the batteries in the walkie. It had been years since I even knew where I had left the damn thing. Just then, a thud shook the wall and knocked over some stuff I had leaning against it, followed by a horrendous, disgusting sound that filled me with terror and revulsion at the same time. I ran to my father's room, and when I opened the door, I could see him in bed, in the fetal position. But it was only an instant before the door was slammed shut in my face. I ran to the kitchen for something to pry the door open with, and that's when I heard it. Something running down the hallway. Something crossing the living room and opening the front door to go outside. I couldn't see it. But it moved in an impossibly fast, supernatural way. I hurried back to my dad, who wouldn't stop crying. Then, in a moment of clarity, he asked me to call his sister. We couldn't stay in that house. Not anymore. I didn't have to explain much on the phone. My aunt asked me to pack a few changes of clothes and said they would come get us in 40 minutes. When we hung up, I heard screams, a commotion behind the house, near the stream. Memo's dad was kicking him while he lay face down on the ground. His mother tried to stop him. Damn f**k it, Memo's drunk father kept shouting. From the side of the stream, some of the local bums started poking their heads out. The bums who used to mug and intimidate people. Memo's father shouted at those drug addicts to beat Memo up, and they obeyed. I immediately ran towards the commotion, Trying to protect my friend, my dad rushed after me. I jumped across the filthy stream water and started swinging punches with all my might at those assholes attacking Memo. At some point, I realized Memo's mother was also pulling them off of him with a ferocity I wouldn't have believed her capable of. At that moment, my gaze met Memo's, blood covering his eyes. As best he could, he got up. He started running downstream. His father was shouting at him not to dare come back, while his mother shouted for him to come back. I saw his silhouette disappear into the darkness, far away. That was the last time I saw him. Suddenly, as if something had punched me in the stomach, I lost my breath. I looked at my house and saw my father's silhouette on the fence. He had been unable to get out through the hole at the bottom. Then, in my bedroom window, was that woman's silhouette, covered by a veil. All the sounds around me went silent at that moment. Memo's father's shouts, his mother's crying, the roars of the thugs running after him. The woman in the window, whatever she was, seemed to trap me with her gaze. And at that instant, she began to lift her veil. And just before she showed her face, I looked down. With my eyes lowered, I ran back to my father. I helped him back around the house, and we waited outside for my family to come get us, forgetting all about the things we had prepared inside. When my aunt and uncle arrived, they looked at me frightened because I was covered in blood. Memo's blood. To this day, I don't know what it was that I feared so much when I looked up at the window. What was I going to see under that veil? Who would that woman turn out to be? Was I going to see my great-grandmother's face? That of the unknown woman who owned the house? Was I going to see a demon's face or my mother's face? It took a long time, almost a decade, before I dared to set foot in this house again. In this house where I'm writing from now. Standing here now, I look out the back window towards the stream again. Memo's house is in ruins. Only one wall remains standing. It looks like no one has lived there for years. Some kids are playing in the dirt road in front of it. They stood still when they saw me, and then ran off to hide. Who knows what they're thinking? Who are they used to seeing in that window?
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.